Chapter 57. There was nothing but time here. Time and the lure of insanity. The dead man spoke to him whenever he opened his eyes, so he often sat in a torpor to gain a measure of peace. But when torpor yielded to sleep, there was a different kind of torture. "Go on, sleep," the dead man said. "I'll be here when you wake." And he laughed. Gavin tore his heart open, and it tore him in turn. His fingers ripped on the thorns, bled. Blood flew in frantic grey splatters to fall to the luminous white marble of the tower's roof, but he didn't stop. Couldn't. The storm bore down upon him, thunder rolling within the gathering clouds, all streaming toward the judging hands of the colossus who stood over him, towering over the tower, examining him with the intensity of a man stooping over a tantruming child, and at the same time so vast that the whole earth was his footstool. Gavin threw aside dark thorns and chunks of his own skin and flesh, heedless, but he wasn't fast enough, couldn't be fast enough. The gathered clouds massed around the great figure's fist and rose, all together, rose over his head with a great sucking sound of all the winds twisting together. His fist rose in preparation to strike, to shatter, to smash, to judge, to obliterate the stain that was Gavin Guile. His heart was full of murder, murder, murder. He broke the thorns off, one by one. Wrath, denial, manipulation, pride. And lies. Everywhere lies. Shame and bitterness and cowardice, and lies. His ormate prophet Orholm had warned him to quit his lying, but he couldn't quit his lying. His whole heart was dark with it. Everywhere he tore off thick black veins, glimpsing febrile grey muscle palpitating beneath them, grey because it was starving, dying. He was a liar, Gavin Guile. He was so inveterate a liar that he didn't know his own face in the mirror anymore. He was weeping, weeping from the pain, weeping from memories half seen, fully shunned. He saw his brother, standing over him on the egg-shaped hill, the great rock before it had become sundered rock, and his brother said, "Dazen, Dazen, Dazen, you could never beat me, not in magic, not in muscle, never, not in cunning, not in counsel, not in stratagems or seductions, not once in all our years. How did you think you would beat me now?" The real Gavin had picked up a spear and limped toward where Dazen lay, concussed, delirious, immobile. "Brother," the eldest said, his voice softening as he approached, steps slow, "did you think I would give up this life? Do you even know what I paid to be here?" And the elder brother, even as he lofted that spear and prepared to kill him, wept. How had Dazen forgotten that? The real Gavin's tears had fallen on barren, smoking ground. Crying? Dazen had barely thought his big brother could, but his tears didn't stop him from advancing. He didn't want to kill Dazen, but he was going to. No, no, no! It didn't matter. He broke the heart into its last pieces. From a distance it looked grey. It wasn't grey. There were no shades of grey. Life was white and black, streaked together so intimately that the two couldn't be untangled. If he tore out what was corrupted, it tore out everything. There was nothing wholly untouched, nothing pure, nothing innocent. His heart fell to pieces, putrescent, rotten, stinking meat in his hands. He rolled from his knees onto his back, limp, his arms stretched out as they had so long ago under the rising sun, and he stared at that crackling, colossal fist of judgment as it came sweeping down. And he accepted it.